welcome to No Punts Allowed. One of us got married last week.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
We have so much to talk about. I think today is going to be a little ragey.
Yes,
I think it's going to be a little ragey. But let's start off on a happy note.
Yes.
It took me like 5 years to learn to pronounce your last name accordingly.
Yes, so my maiden name.
So please educate the class now, Paige.
Yes.
Because like even the live stream we did last night, when she introduced herself, did you see me smiling? I don't know if you did.
Yeah.
It was like, I had a moment.
Yeah, well, it is Paige Mendonca.
Ooh,
so
it's going to be a
Mendonca
challenge.
But Mendonced. Also, very weird for me to say as well, because I'm so used to saying Adam Kramer and Paige Kuhn, or Paige Kuhn and Adam Kramer, which, by the way, I didn't realize we both had K's, like those are the last K.
It works, made it work.
He just flowed so easily. And also, I mean, I've been Paige Kuhn for 33 years, so it is very weird to say that. It was definitely easier, or it was easier to say my Modelo rundown, like my little spiel for Modelo, than it was for me to say Paige Mendonca. It was very odd, but it's crazy that it's actually here. It's happened. I am Paige Mendonca. Not legally yet, because I gotta wait until
some trouble
before I get to legally do it. But all this stuff is submitted, so technically I am Paige Mendonca, which is so crazy. Yeah, the weekend was wonderful. We had college football on all day.
It looks like the setup was glorious, by the way.
Yes, it was wonderful. And even like to get ready, I was getting ready and watching Ohio State Michigan, which just felt like good vibes. You know what I mean? Really good vibes. So it was really a wonderful day. It was everything we could have hoped for. Did get a lot of questions about if you were there or not. There were people looking for you. Maybe we were like, oh, is he here? So you are famous. You are very famous amongst our friends and family. And I told them, obviously, you wanted to make it, but were unable to, and that was okay. But yeah, I appreciated you holding down the fort because, of course, this weekend, Lane Kiffin had to leave for LSU, which I knew going into it that I knew I was jinxed. I should have known that because it was going to be the weekend of my wedding, he was going to leave.
Yes.
Because that was a big deal. It was very dramatic, very chaotic. I did see at 11:30 p.m. when I got home from my wedding that it was reported that he was officially leaving. So all of that happened, and I was like, all right, well, thanks a lot, Lane, you know.
Well, it was funny because throughout the day of when we do this, you and I are looking for the story. Some weeks are easier than others. There's a game that we know we want to cover. There's storylines. You and I do kind of a little, well, it may not look like it. We do some prep sometimes. Maybe not for this show always, but sometimes.
Yes.
So, like, I was excited for Lane because there was nothing during the day that was going to top Lane.
Yeah.
So when I'm hearing of, like, I don't know, 10 a.m. meetings, my sweet 10 a.m. meeting, like, I'm done. Lane's going to be done. We got our story. And that motherfucker had other plans. So it was a really weird day. It was one of the weird, I was telling you, debriefing. Because we were just like, it was going to happen. But you did, to write the story, you kind of needed him to say it. Like, I don't trust anybody. And you knew he was going to be kind of the one. And he was.
No, totally.
So we were waiting and waiting, and then eventually pivoted to the playoff, which was fun. It was an interesting day of football, very odd day of football. And then sure enough, the next morning, even the next day, this didn't happen until middle of the afternoon. Poor Marty Smith locked in Oxford, just guy trying to get home. So
spent the night of Thanksgiving there on to just get this happening. And like, I mean, he got the interview and went off-roading and really got the internet going. But yeah, I mean, it was very dramatic. And I think there's so much since that has happened, whether it's like players saying that, oh, they didn't advocate for him to be coaching. He is letting his offensive coordinator coach as well to come back, and then is going to be the OC at LSU. And it's just all very messy.
It is.
Very, very messy in a way that it didn't need to be.
Yes.
And we talked yesterday on the College Football Playoff Ranking show about how – there were just lots of other ways to go about it, including not leaving, which is fine. And I think one of the more interesting takes that I've seen about this that I actually found to be pretty like level-headed is that like at this point in his career, Lane could have said like either you guys wait for me or I'm not coming, because like it is about me. It's not the program that builds this. It's me that can create this. And he has a college football playoff team at Ole Miss right now. So it's like he could have really like done a much better job besides like, oh, I'm leaving because it's a great program, but also I tried to coach, but they wouldn't let me. Like, it just felt very like, oh, woe's me, I tried, but like, feel bad for me. I don't know. It felt very weird to me. I'm sad about it.
I was sad about it too. When Lane was at FAU, I visited him for a couple of days, and it was the vibes were immaculate. This was at the beginning of the Lane renaissance, because I remember being at the national championship or the play when he was fired from Alabama too, which was really awkward. And my time spent talking to Lane in person with Lane, we've enjoyed him. I feel like I was duped. I do. And like, who gives a shit about me?
Yeah.
I don't matter in this equation. I don't want to make it about me, but no, I will say there was some like, and people have written that. I think it's a little harsh. Like, on one hand, this is a great opportunity. Him saying, I don't know what the contract is. That's horseshit. And
Jimmy, don't tell me any dollar amounts. Don't like, tell me any money.
And I think the problem is like the web is starting to fall apart. The players speaking up, you're going to get more of this too. I wrote this in the story I wrote. Like, you'll kind of find out what was going on. I listened to the AD at Ole Miss. I found there's no reason for him to lie. And I thought he handled it very well, basically said, look, some of the things that have been said are just strictly not true.
Because again, my thing is I don't believe that they were not letting him coach because they were afraid he was going to poach players or they didn't want him around doing that, because he's going to do that anyway. Like, no matter what, he was going to do that anyway. So it seemed like a weird excuse to be that for that to be the case. And I just think, and look, Lane is a great football coach. He's going to be great at LSU. To your point, I think like he was doing such a good job. It's almost like, I don't know because I've only seen very few office episodes. We don't need to go on a rant about it. We'll talk about it another time.
No, you're not going to get it.
You know,
from
when
me.
The guy's carrying the big pot of chili and then it just like falls all over.
I love that kid.
He was so carefully carrying that pot of chili and really handling it well of like, hey, I addressed it with the team when this came out, all this stuff. And then it just like spilt everywhere and was complete chaos and was like, it's not about the money. And if it really wasn't about the money, and you think that, I mean, be real. Like, maybe I'm being delusional about this. Like, yes, LSU is the best program in college football. Okay. Totally get that.
When it's not a fuck show. Yes. I would agree.
Yes. But also,
and it's currently a fuck show.
But also, in this day and age in college football, to win a national championship, do you have to be at LSU to win a national championship?
No.
Exactly.
Is he more likely, though? Yes. Yeah. No, like, I get leaving. I actually get leaving.
But also, like, okay, cool. You're like Kevin Durant. You're about to go on a team that already won national championships.
So what makes Lane happy? Because I got the vibe. He's given us this vibe that he was happy, like, doing what he does. He found a place that he could do it with reasonable expectations. Like, I know you've referenced, I think it's an interesting part of this too, referencing advice from Pete Carroll and Nick Saban, and Pete Carroll referencing like your dad would tell you to go take your shot. Like, that's kind of okay.
Yeah, I get that.
Nick Saban telling him to go take the job, which is really interesting, by the way, with Nick on TV. There is some unique conflicts of interest. But Nick Saban, he's going to listen to what Nick has to say. I don't think Nick is wrong. I actually think this was the time. I just think the whole thing was so poorly handled. And Lane was trying to hang on to too much for too long.
Yes.
And if this would have happened, you said, look, I'm going to do this. I'll coach out the regular season. It's not fair to the players if I stay. Because trying to stay, you and I kind of maybe disagreed about this. It doesn't really matter. It's heavy. It's hard for the players. And now we're seeing the players. Who the hell knows what the truth is? Some probably wanted them to stay. Probably some wanted them probably to get the hell out of there. Again, I just.
But also.
He's worked so hard to be likable. And he's going to a place where people are going to root for him to fail.
Yeah.
In like this. It's wild, the way it turned.
Yeah. What's funny is that this was the year that the stuff came out, his interview with Ryan McGee, and how he basically like really owned up to a lot of stuff. But I do want to say this. I don't think the player thing is specific to Lane Kiffin. Like, I think there's a lot of players that probably played for Nick Saban that didn't love him, but they were like, hey, this is the greatest coach and I'm going to play for him and all of those things. It's easier to say those things now that he's gone and, you know, be upset because of this decision and all of those things. So I get that. But I do think that, like, it's not, and I'm sure Nick was more likable than Lane Kiffin to his players, okay? It's just an example of, like, there's a lot of coaches around college football that if they left their program, players would have not nice things to say about them. And if they stay, they're never going to say those things because they're benefiting from them being a good football coach, you know? So it's like, there's so much of it that's so layered and it's so messed up. And I feel like, I mean, the one thing I will say is that Nick Saban did talk about how this is just like unfair to the players. And we've started to really get into territory where, sure, players are being paid, but a lot of this is really unfair to how this shakes out. And that's actually a perfect segue into the college football playoff, because the way this is structured and what could possibly happen is really, really unfair to the players of college football right now.
The sport's a mess. I don't blame Lane for taking the job. I think he screwed up the next steps. Yep. I don't blame the players for being mad.
Yep.
I don't blame the players for transferring. We allow this. So this is the end result of the sports in action to prevent some of these things from happening. There's been a lot of talk about the calendar being the issue here. Fine. Part of the problem is the calendar. It's National Signing Day as we're recording this. It's fucking like, what a joke. But it's not just that. I don't know. It's the sport's a mess.
I mean, the calendar is a big problem. I think there's a way that we could have fixed this and been proactive. The people who are leading this sport could have been proactive and resolved this, knowing what we know about the portal, knowing what we know about early National Signing Day, knowing what we know about all of this. And sure, they moved the portal. Great. Okay. It doesn't impact as much. Early National Signing Day is still now. Still very weird. Still in the middle of the season. And also during the time where we have coaches who are taking over new jobs. And the playoff is like in 3 weeks from now? And like we still have so much time until we actually crown a national champion. Move it up. Move it up. This is so stupid. This is so stupid. It doesn't make any sense to me. We need to make college football go back to being done the first week of January or second week of January. So that the portal is then, coaches can get through stuff. Signing day should go back to February. Like, don't have an early national signing day. Like, the calendar is a huge problem. That is a quick solve to a lot of these issues.
Yes.
And we knew this going into this season in the summer. The people who could have made things happen didn't. And we're waiting on the House for NCAA settlement. It was going to pass. So why did we not get this figured out? Like, it didn't need to be a wait on that. And it's just stupid that we didn't get ahead of this. And now we're still waiting on what the playoff will look like next year. So
yeah, the sport does not have its shit together.
No.
Collectively. Do we want to hit other coaching stuff real quick before we go to playoff? I don't know. There's so much to unpack. As we sit here, though, I'm looking at a graphic that state media, Penn State's media coverage sent out. And it's We Are. And it has a picture of two players. And those are the two players that Penn State has signed today on National Signing Day. They have, as of an hour ago, the number 150th ranked class in college football. This is Penn State. Penn State.
Yep.
So they don't have a coach. They've tried. We know they tried to go to BYU and get their coach. I think that would have been a pretty good hire. We don't know whom else. They had a head start on this page, right? Firing James Franklin, who has since been hired and was coveted by, we know, more than just Virginia Tech, Arkansas, and others. I don't know what Penn State is doing, but it's about as bad of a job managing this entire situation as you could possibly envision. And when you do this with your recruiting class, they'll get a coach, they'll go in the portal, they'll figure things out. This sets you back. This is hard to recover from, the shit that's going on right now at Penn State.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a complete botch job. And what the weird part about it, and we said this maybe 2 or 3 weeks after James Franklin was fired, was, hey, that was certainly an emotional, you know, firing. Sure, he deserved to be fired when the expectations are this low. However, if you don't have someone lined up or you don't have any feelers out there, because it doesn't feel like that was the case, because you would have known that you would have been turned down by quite a few people.
Yes.
This feels like you made a reactionary decision because you knew the pressure was coming from fans and from outside, and you didn't do your job. Their athletic director did not do his job, and now you're being embarrassed in front of everyone. You better hope that you can lure away someone who is coaching in the college football playoff or something that is going to be a splash hire, but there's really no one. And it
who's
feels
it going
like,
to be? Jeff Brohm is saying piss off, which yeah. I think would have been a great hire, by the way.
I thought he should have gone to Florida, but.
Totally. I just, when you manage your program, and he's going to lose his job from this, the Kraft. This is over.
Well,
like, you will lose your job.
Yeah.
And now there's support. I was just reading this to hire, you know, their current intern coach, who's done a reasonably good job and is
Terry
loved.
Smith.
Yeah. Terry Smith has done a good job. They've played better.
But
and kind of like the Ole Miss way of plugging the hole, which is like, here. But Ole Miss at least did it with conviction. I think that Golding decision's a really bad one, by the way. I don't think that's going to work out. I really don't. I think he's a good DC. I don't know if he's a head coach. I hope he proves me wrong. God bless him. Penn State is left to do, but they should have read this earlier. You could hire the interim head coach if you do it 3 weeks ago and you rally.
Yes. When everyone knew he was being interviewed and you were like, you know what, this is our guy. We're going to say, you know, yes, there's bits of what James Franklin was doing that got us here and that we're still going to have those parts. But to get to the next level, we believe in him, all of that. That should have happened. I will also say something about Kalani Sitake is I do find it interesting that he decided to stay. Of course, there's all this because the Crumble Cookie CEO fronted all this money. Also hilarious that those Crumble Cookies were at Virginia Tech's National Signing Day. But interestingly enough, BYU is going to be left out of the college football playoff again when they certainly could have an opportunity to be in the playoff.
Yes.
And if you are Penn State and you perform the way that they have at BYU and you have that logo, you're not left out of the college football playoff. So
no.
To me, that was honestly a very questionable. I like him a lot. I interviewed him this year. He's super great.
He's done a phenomenal job.
Has stayed together for so long. They've retained so many of those guys who could have left for other jobs. It is fascinating to me that he wants to stay in the Big 12. It's great for the Big 12 because you're going to have
Texas Tech and BYU are going to be probably duking it out for a long time.
A while. And you're also going to get people that want to coach there and don't think that they need to go. They're not using it as a stepping stone. It's telling for two reasons. One, it means that he has the confidence that they can do it in the Big 12. And that the Big 12 can get multiple teams into the college football playoff. Because, again, you're looking you're about to play Texas Tech for the second time this year. And they're going to be a juggernaut. They're going to continue. They just re-signed their coach. They are going to continue to spend money And I'm sure the Crumble Cookie CEO will find more for players and stuff. But
this I like is Crumble Cookie, something... by the way. You like Crumble Cookie?
I do like Crumble Cookie.
They're good. They're good. They're good. They're really good. Great they presentation. Really good. Love that Crumble Cookie stepping in to save the day.
It's just what, the most colorful thing ever. But yeah, no, I just find it very interesting. This is like just telling in all aspects that he's not going to Penn State. And sure, you could say that Penn State just lost its allure. But like, I mean, it should have lost its allure a while ago if it was going to lose its allure. You know?
Is there any, they're a mess. And I think people are looking at, firing Franklin the way they did and saying, like, I don't want to deal with that. Is there any other hirings that stood out? There's been a lot. You know, Mark Stoops gone at Kentucky.
Yeah.
And they're going to pay him a small fortune. I've always thought he's going to be Kirk Ferentz's successor at Iowa. Maybe that happens now. Although Kirk Ferentz announced today he's back, baby.
Auburn, Florida. So Florida gets him.
I know you winning press conferences. Not like I like everything he said. He strikes me as a really put together dude that is up for this challenge. It means absolutely nothing, but he was very impressive.
Yeah.
In his remarks, and
I was surprised he didn't go to Auburn because Auburn has kind of like let him know that they were his guy from the very beginning. But I will say Auburn getting Alex Golish, a big deal as very well. Good. I think he's going to do a great job.
Yeah.
I think it all worked out in a way that I think was the way it should have. Do you think that Penn State still goes for Eli Drinkwitz at this point and tries to get him to come?
I think that ship has sailed.
You do?
I don't know. I truly don't know what they do. And I can't believe we're in this situation. Penn State is such a good job, or should be a good job.
Yeah.
I saw somebody say this, and I kind of like it. Like, go get Dan Mullen from UNLV. I actually like that. I think that's a good idea. Like, if in doubt, and you know, UNLV will play for a championship, Mountain West, this week. Feels like I've bet about against them 400 times. I'm going to do it again. I think that hire would be interesting. Dan Mullen, he's coached in a major program. He knows offense, but what else are you going to do? What are you going to go get Manny Diaz from Duke?
Like, okay. I actually would not hate that at all.
I think that would be, he's doing a good job at Duke. We'll talk about them.
You could make the college football playoff.
All right, which is good segue. Let's talk college football playoff. So we did our show last night as the rankings were coming out. People were mad. And not just our chat. The internet was mad. Bruce Feldman's fired off F-bombs on Twitter. Bruce is like one of the nicest people ever. Bruce is talking about, I don't know if you saw that. Did you see his reply?
What did it say?
Man, I gotta go find it. Yeah, I'll go find it. Because it's funny. I was like Bruce is like the most
professional,
quiet, professional dude. And he, I'm gonna find the reply. But basically that the committee doesn't know what the fuck they're doing. I thought I was going to text him like, hey, buddy, you know, people could see this, right? But it was clear he wanted
that. Was it a reply to you?
No, it was a reply to somebody posted. Well, this was really dumb. The committee chair said it's easier to use the head-to-head win as a data point if the teams are back-to-back in the rankings, which is galactically stupid. And so Bruce... Again, I love Bruce, said, and I quote, this is all so fucking stupid. They just keep making it up as they go along. It's like the CFP committee is going out of its way to show that the sport is run by morons. Now, Bruce Feldman is like one of the, like an OG pro.
Yeah.
He's been everywhere and plugged in. For him to be that mad, I was like, wow, the sport has lost its mind.
I was getting mad because it was the dumbest. It was so hard to justify. So, okay. Full disclosure, we can see the chat. We respond to the chat on our show. Yesterday, after we logged off, I told you, I was like, people were like mean yesterday. It's because they were pissed, and I get why. But we were trying to explain what the committee was doing, and it's frustrating to look at these rankings and go, yeah, I don't understand why this team is ranked above, like, the whole Miami Notre Dame thing, like, actually blows my mind. Like, blows my mind. The more I looked at it, the more I was like, this is the dumbest thing ever. Because sure, you could say that win is during week one. I don't give a shit. It was only by 3 points. Miami looked like by far the superior team. Okay. Sure, Notre Dame has gotten their shit together. The margin of their strength of schedule and strength of record is literally one or two in the rankings, by the way. Notre Dame's strength of schedule is 42nd. Miami's is 44th. Their strength of record, Notre Dame's is 13th. Miami's is 14th. Then you go to head-to-head. That's where it should matter. That's the shit that we've been hearing for years, that head-to-head matters. Head-to-head matters. I could not believe, after looking at it again. Oh, and also, by the way, the common opponents thing really pisses me off, because it was like,
yes, yes,
they don't use margin of victory to evaluate it, okay? Which, because if they did, Miami beat three out of those four teams with a larger margin, and the only one they didn't was Syracuse, and Notre Dame played Syracuse with a backup quarterback. I mean, that's why, what are we looking at then if we're doing how you beat like similar opponents? It doesn't make any sense.
So,
like, you're just using eye test?
So the theory now.
And the good losses just pisses me off as well. I'm so sorry. The whole thing is so dumb. Also, if you're Vanderbilt, I'm pissed as well.
So good. This is good.
It's so stupid.
We're doing a live show in the studio together on Sunday, by the way, on Bleacher Report. So go watch. So, because there'll be some rage there. Probably from us, too. So, this is the worst committee we've had, period. End of story. The theory that a lot of what I was reading last night after our show is that when BYU loses, Miami, who is behind Notre Dame, will then be able to jump Notre Dame.
Why?
This is what people are saying, that then the head-to-head will be relevant because they're next to each other.
Oh, so he was saying if they're right next to each other, then it matters, but because they're separated by BYU, it didn't matter.
I think that's...
That's fucking stupid! Because they did say, oh, there can be movement even if you're not playing this weekend.
It's very dumb.
Can we talk about Vanderbilt for a second?
Sure. And then I want to talk about Texas.
Well, yes. Yes. This goes perfectly with this conversation. I don't think Miami or Notre Dame should get into the college football playoff over Vanderbilt. Because looking at Vandy losing to only Texas by 3 points, who just beat the committee's number 7 team in the country, and Alabama, who's, if they win an SEC championship, get in. Vandy should jump them if Alabama wins. That should improve their strength of record to move them up. They should jump those teams in that case.
The problem, their resume kind of fell apart. I'm not arguing with you, by the way.
But it's their strength. Let's look up their strength of record.
And I'm looking just at the teams, right? So like, they played South Carolina, who was ranked number 11, and they beat them 31-7. Right, they played LSU, who was ranked 10th, and they beat them 31-24.
By the way, Vanderbilt's strength of record is 11th in front of Texas, Notre Dame, and Miami.
What's really interesting about this?
So what are we doing?
Well, what's really interesting about this?
You can look at the teams. You're doing the eye test. You're looking at the logo of the team and saying,
No. I'm going to shoehorn Texas into this discussion.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Because Texas, Steve Sarkisian is mad. And Steve Sarkisian as well. We could have not played Ohio State, had two losses, and then been in the playoff. It's like, Fair. Well, no. We have an SEC team here that has led two losses that is not in the playoff.
Yeah.
Like, we actually don't have that. Granted, Texas lost to Florida.
Exactly.
Don't lose to Florida. And let me just rant real quick for Texas. We can come back to Vandy.
Wow, so Vandy wouldn't end up getting in because they'd be right next to Texas.
Yes.
And the head-to-head would matter. That's so stupid. Oh my God, this is so stupid.
Now, Steve Sarkisian has been ranting, and I appreciate his sentiment. I appreciate him campaigning. Steve Sarkisian is doing his job right now in saying, we're going to cancel all of our hard future opponents. We're going to honor Ohio State and Michigan. And then after that, no, you're not. No, you're not. That's loser talk. That's loser talk. When Steve Sarkisian, the coach of Texas, is saying, well, we're going to just start playing cupcakes. That's okay. You could, I get why you're saying it. You're on tilt, right? You're Texas. Don't say this shit. You sound small. You sound weak. I tweeted this last night and I got a deluge of people like, yeah, Texas, fuck Texas. And then the Texas fans were like, not happy. I find that sentiment, though, disturbing, like very, very disturbing. And
well,
I think it's also just posturing. Like, we know what you're going to do. Stop saying this.
We also kind of got that, like, talk from him when there was stuff about Arch and, like, them losing games. Like, there's just a lot that feels a little weird there. I will say, if there's going to be a three-loss team in the college football playoff, why not the Arizona Wildcats, you know?
Oh, God.
I'm so happy. By the way, seeing Arizona as the number 18 team in the country, also beating Arizona State the weekend of my wedding, best way to kick off wedding weekend, by the way, was beating them. Oh, yeah. It was fantastic. Oh, it was so good. God, no, I love Rip Brennan.
It was great.
We got it together. I feel
Arizona
so
and Iowa ranked.
Woo!
Yeah. This is
they'll
our
be ranked in the final rankings.
They will. All right. So let's talk playoff a little bit more.
Yes. I'll
try not to rant. Other things I was thinking about post show. Alabama moved up one. Notre Dame moved down one. Alabama moved up one with a win at Auburn. It's an interesting move by the committee. I think the committee showcased some chess pieces here a little early. The committee is basically saying, unless Alabama loses by 20 plus points that they're in, correct? Is Alabama a lock?
I guess. Yeah, because they're going to do the whole, we can't.
I could do one
we
better.
We can't punish someone for playing in. And here's the thing. I think people think that if BYU has a close loss, they're going to jump Alabama. Or not Alabama, sorry. They're going to jump Notre Dame.
All right. I've got some odds for you. This is even better. What do you think Alabama's odds to make the playoff are? This is kind of hard because it's, you know, but this is very telling.
Is it plus?
No, it's
okay.
It's
a minus.
Minus, like, they're minus 1,800. Minus 1,800.
Well, it's because if they win that game, they're in. But
now, what do you think Notre Dame is?
Are they still what?
Oh, wait.
Minus 500?
They are minus 500 on the nose. Wow.
I know this shit. Yeah, the whole Notre Dame thing actually really pisses me off because this is also the perfect opportunity. Everyone's been bitching and complaining about them not being in a conference. This is the perfect opportunity for the committee
to
say, play in a conference. Play a conference championship.
By the way, other odds of note, which are fascinating. James Madison, plus 150. There's no odds for North Texas Tulane. I think those odds are basically who's going to win that game, right? Like,
yeah.
That's like makes sense. BYU, plus 400. Miami, plus 500. Duke, plus 2,000, so 20-1. And UNLV, plus 3,000. UNLV getting some odds love here, which I find hilarious.
Which is hilarious because they weren't in these rankings. They would have been in these rankings. But yeah, it's just this whole thing is so stupid. And the whole next to each other thing actually is sending me into more of a spiral because the more I think about what could actually move, like the Texas Vanderbilt thing, like that just like pisses me off beyond. That's so fucking dumb.
I love this. Let's keep going. All right. So here's another point I think both you and I agree on. Ohio State, Indiana. We'll talk about the game in a little bit. I could not be more excited about this game. You don't need to knock somebody out for a game to kick ass. But this game kicks ass. So
thank you. It is such a good game, by the way.
And we will be able to watch this one here in New York, which will be fun too. Okay. This is where I struggle because the committee sucks. And the guidelines are all over the place. Conference championships are supposed to matter. Yes. I think in this instance, they shouldn't. The winner of this game should be number one. The loser should be number two. If Georgia wins the SEC, that's probably the only chance you'll get a 2-3 swap, which truly, I mean, it matters. But ultimately, when you get to the second round of the bracket, you got to beat who you got to beat. So I don't want to say it's a huge deal to rant, but I think one and two should stay. The winner of that game should, that's it. And the loser should just go right there. So it may, Ohio State is favored in this game. If Ohio State wins, it's Ohio State, it's Indiana. You agree with this too, correct?
Yeah, it should be.
All right. Then that's easy.
But also, I want people to stop saying this game doesn't matter because literally, like, Indiana hasn't won a Big Ten championship since 1967. And Ohio State, while dominant and has a national championship, hasn't won one since 2020.
Also, the Heisman odds right now.
Yeah.
Fernando Mendoza plus 160. Diego Pavia plus 180.
Wow, he moved up.
Julian Sain plus 200. It matters.
It matters. They're one of those, basically. Like, if they don't win, it's probably the other guy because they have this Heisman moment. No offense to Diego Pavia. It's literally just this Heisman moment.
Diego Pavia needs a shitty 17-7 game. Like, that's what Diego needs. And if he wins the Heisman, by the way, I am all for it.
And also, by the way, yesterday when I said the only difference between Ohio State and Indiana was that Ohio State won a national championship last year. The chat was like, one of us lost to Penn State. And I was like, oh my God, you guys. Did you not watch the end of that game in that final drive? I don't care how close, whatever, on the road, in a tough environment. That, by the way, that Penn State team, still very good.
Yes.
Has a lot of very good players. That final drive was like, no, that's how you win a national championship right there. That is something that we haven't seen from Ohio State. We haven't seen them have to do that. Okay, so we don't know if in those situations, sure, Saiyan regrouped after having a tough situation at the start of the game this last weekend, but that was hilarious. Oh, the chat was so mad that I said that. I don't really care.
All right, so elsewhere in this thing, the winner of North Texas and Tulane is in. And then if James Madison, yes, ACC.
Talk ACC, because if Duke wins the ACC, that's where two group of five teams are getting in. They're not going to put Duke in.
No, they won't put Duke in. They cannot. And they made that clear. You put James Madison at 25, and let's just assume James Madison's going to win, by the way.
Yeah.
Because they are currently 23.5 point favorites over Troy, right? Big favorite. Friday night, you and I will be watching. Man, we got some good games Friday night, actually.
I know.
North Texas Tulane Friday night. Oh, man. UNLV Boise. I'm in. So Duke is only a 3.5 point dog.
And then we have to wait out until the ACC championship at what'll be 8 p.m. Eastern.
That's true. Cause you really won't know. I mean, there's a couple of trigger points for this ranking. The ACC is one. The Big 12 is the other. And then we have to see. But if BYU beats Texas Tech, that changes everything. The entirety of the bracket will look a lot different. I mean, that is the moment we really haven't had in the playoff era.
I just really, it bothers me so much that let me look at the strength of I'm sorry. BYU's strength of record is 6th in the country. Their strength of schedule is 35th, which is better than Notre Dame and Miami. And they are getting absolutely hosed. They should be in if they lose. They should literally be in no matter what.
Well,
that is crazy.
Yes.
That is nuts. Like, what are we? If we're using, like, I'm so confused by this. If we're using these metrics and using these things to evaluate plus eye tests, like, what are we doing? The logo, the conference affiliation.
The logo.
This is so stupid.
So if Alabama loses to Georgia, they're fine. If BYU loses to Texas Tech, they're fucked.
Who? Notre Dame and Miami?
Well, like, no, but if we're saying we're not going to move Alabama down if they lose to Georgia, we're going to move BYU out if they lose to Texas Tech?
Or they're going to.
Yeah. I mean,
you have to be in at 10 to get into this. And it'd be weird for the committee to move BYU up and not have just done it this week.
That was the kiss of death. Yes.
Because strength of schedule and strength of resume, they have a better one and a better record than Notre Dame.
Yes.
This is bonkers. Now I'm even more mad for BYU. Like,
yeah, they've gotten pretty hosed 2 years in a row, by the way.
This is just,
yeah.
Wow. I mean, but hey, you could say, oh, they played. And I think literally the committee did this so that if BYU gets blown out, they leave them out. They say, okay, they've been blown out twice. We're not putting them in. But if they play a close game and then they jump Notre Dame, that would be wild. But yeah, also down for it because it should have happened this week.
Yeah. No, I'm actually, that would be hilarious though, because people would be so mad. And to be honest,
it happened last week.
If there was ever a committee
a conference
capable of doing some really wackadoodle shit, I think it's this one. I think it's this one.
There's some scenario that we're not even thinking of that this committee is willing to do, which is insanity. But should we?
Yeah, let's talk games.
Preview some games. Yeah, yeah.
I have most of the. I pretty much have all the major ones covered in locks. So do we want to start with locks and we could just do breakdowns?
Well, let's just do games. And then when you have a lock in it, let me know. All right.
So let's start with the one we were just talking about. Texas Tech versus BYU. The spread in this game is 12.5. The first time those two teams played, I thought BYU played really well for about, I don't know, 20 minutes. And then after that, it got a little tricky. So, does BYU have a shot? Do they cover, I guess?
I'm trying to do the math on the score that I have because math is really not my strong suit because we did have score predictions.
Shit. I got to make sure my locks align with what I sure did. Yeah. My biggest fear would be like, I think this is going to happen. It's like, well,
I do not have them covering. I have the score being 35-17.
We could do our actual scores today. Well, I guess we could have done them all along. Where, there it is. I have the score. Where the fuck is it? Hold on. Wait for it. That's your score. 30. I was like, I also, 30-10. 30-10. Texas Tech is no joke.
So we don't think they're going to cover. So the BYU conversation we just had and the upset.
We love BYU. They're going to die this weekend. Yeah. Like, congrats to BYU for getting slaughtered.
Right.
I just think Texas Tech, I mean, you and I say it on every stream we do, like, stop taking Texas Tech unseriously. And also, by the way, lost in the rankings madness, A&M's loss, like, Texas Tech is going to get a bye. If they do what we say, they're not going to get jumped by Oregon or Ole Miss or A&M.
No.
Could they get jumped? No, they wouldn't get jumped by Alabama. If A&M wins, they're in. I mean, period. And they should be. So Texas Tech. Oh, boy. That will piss people off. So let me avoid that. So, all right. Yeah, I think they're too good. I think people are going to look at the logo and they're going to look at the conference. But I think you said it on the stream. If you watch them play, they're a fucking wagon. And their one loss was their quarterback was out. And they lost to a feisty Arizona State team. So
losing the Arizona State team. Well, anyway.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, this week. Forced down.
Let's do North Texas Tulane.
So first spreads, because this one's fascinating. North Texas is favored by 2.5. The total is 66.5. North Texas, I think, 4 of its last 5 games has scored 52 or more points. They can score. You have two coaches here that are
leaving,
getting ready to leave, that are probably tired as shit.
Yeah.
I like North Texas. I know it's played it. I this line is really interesting to me. I know it's played at Tulane. I think North Texas right now is just overwhelming people. I think it's a real matchup problem. What about you?
So I have North Texas. I have them winning by 3, and I have the total score being over 66. So...
Oh, shit. All right, I'll give you a score. Woo. I have 38-31.
I have 38-35.
Oh, buddy. We got to bet that over.
Yeah, we do.
That'll be a fun over to bat, too.
Well, we'll be in New York.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, no, that, we bets will be flying.
Bets will be flying.
SEC or ACC? Yeah. Yes, I do have a lock. So both those games, I had Texas Tech as a lock, and I like North Texas as a lock.
Okay.
And as a baby lock, I like the over.
SEC.
All right. I have seen our scores, and I know that we're going separate ways on this, which is fine. And it makes sense. This is a really tricky game. So Alabama, Georgia, I think the first game we saw this year is going to be a lot like this game, in a sense that it's going to be close, and I don't know if it's going to be like a deluge of points. Spread right now, Georgia is a 2.5-point favorite. I'm a little surprised it's not higher. And the total is 47.5. So, all right. It's these two offenses, Paige, are similar. They're different. Stockton likes to run. Alabama's going to hopefully rely on its wide receivers. When they're going, they look really good. But there are points where they don't operate. And Georgia did not look good against Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
That's a bad Georgia Tech defense that played pretty well.
Yeah.
Alabama, of course, struggled at Auburn, which, I don't know, pretty much everybody, including Georgia, has struggled at Auburn. I like Bama. I don't love Bama. I think they'll make enough plays. And I don't feel great about it.
This goes against everything that I ever feel or think about a Georgia-Alabama game.
No drags.
And I am going with Georgia winning by 3 points. And I think it's going to be 24-21, so I guess we're betting the under. And I don't know. Like, obviously, history is not on my side for this, but I just feel like this Georgia team might have it because of the fact that they've been challenged. And I don't – Alabama, when they're – I mean, the Iron Bowl, sure, yeah, they played well in the first half, but, like, I don't know. I think if you do what you did against Auburn, Georgia's going to take advantage of that. So –
Georgia looks so good against Texas. They look good against Mississippi State. And they're good. They're a good team. It's been a weird season.
It's been a weird season for both of these teams.
It's weird because
they're losing. That's the problem for us, is that either of them are losing. And
well, you know what?
They're
number 11 and number 12 in scoring defense. So they're they're very similar. Again, they're very, very similar. Good, great, not elite defenses, great skill position talent, quarterbacks that are very, very good, can be very good, that do it in different ways. But something is just not quite right.
Right.
Something is just not quite right. So the first game, Alabama won 24-21. I think, what were they up in that game? They were up, I thought, pretty sizable. And then Georgia,
because remember we were starting to write and we were like, God damn it.
Yeah. Alabama was up 14-0. They were up 24-14.
Yeah.
Georgia made a game of it. It's going to be a great game.
It is going to be a great game. It's going to be a feisty game. I think, gone are the days of blowouts in these conference championship games, unless I sort of think.
I am here for it. All right. Let's talk.
Big 10.
You want to do ACC last or Big 10?
We can do ACC, and then Big 10.
Feels weird. Ending on the ACC.
And the ACC. Yeah.
And
go ahead.
Like, womp, womp, womp. I like Duke. 34-28. I'm going to lose no matter what I do with Duke. Like, no matter if I pick them to win or lose, they will do the opposite.
So I picked Virginia 34-21. So
I don't know what to make of this Duke team. They have cost me more money than any team in college football this year. They've looked pretty good their last 2 weeks. The offenses look good. They did lose to Virginia at home 3 weeks ago, which is why I'm looking at the spread page and I'm like, why is it 3.5?
Yeah.
Why is it 3.5? So I don't feel great about it, but I'm going to take Duke because the ACC deserves this. The ACC, from day one, when Clemson just looked like absolute shit, deserves this exact thing. So, but you have Virginia.
Yes, I have Virginia. I just think this Virginia team is better and more trustworthy in a moment like this, but you never know because they have played a lot of close games and should have lost a lot more games than they did. So
I will say it lost in the Duke bullshit. Virginia's had an amazing year.
Yeah.
And it would be nice to see a fan base like that enjoy the playoff. They're going to get absolutely fucking rolled.
Rolled, yeah.
But good for you for getting into the position to get rolled.
Yeah.
We appreciate you. All right.
Exactly. Doing justice.
And then a Big Ten. I believe we are going separate ways once more, which is good for content. So you like Indiana in this game?
I do. Indiana has been battle tested. I think they're so well matched. And I think Cignetti wants to prove a point. Obviously, Ryan Day, a great football coach as well, but less for a point to be proven by him. And I just think, Fernando Mendoza, of course, in terms of like seniority, been in big games, been in pressure situations more this season than Julian Sain has had. This is not to say that I think Fernando Mendoza is going to be a way better quarterback than Julian Sain in the long scheme of things, but I just think in this particular game, this might actually be a moment for Indiana and a really big one because of the fact that they have really been pushed this year and then also blown out a billion other teams. So I'm looking forward to it. Again, it matters for reshaping a program that has notoriously been a basketball school. I think it's going to be a really good game.
I'm a little worried about Mendoza in this game.
Really?
Here's why. I watched him against Iowa, 13 of 23. Mm-hmm. It made a couple of huge throws down the stretch, by the way, and was under duress the whole game. I watched him against Oregon, really bad interception, 20 of 31, 215 yards. At Penn State, 19 of 30, an interception. I think he's good. In fact, as a Jets fan, sign me up. But I'm a little worried when the competition has elevated. He hasn't been great. Now, Julian Sain wasn't great last week either. I thought he made some really good plays as the game went on. But if you're asking me who do I have more faith in, it's Sain. And maybe that's a product of having the weapons that
having
he has.
Having played no one?
So that too. Neither of them have played anybody. I mean, Michigan.
Oregon,
for sure. And I like Mendoza. This is why. Mendoza, it's close.
No, right? Also was Cal. The other funny part of that is when I was talking about him this summer, I said Mendoza, and I was like, Mendoza, sorry. And it's because obviously that was my new last name.
You're trumping.
But no, I get what you're saying, but I disagree. I think that
it's going to be a great game.
I think we have more of a look. They won those games. So I think, sure, to your point, Indiana certainly had the pressure.
Motivation wise, you're right, by the way. This game is better for Indiana. And it is a little weird to say that because both these teams are in. And both these teams also maybe want to hold some stuff back because they know they could play again. In fact, right now, you feel pretty good about it, right? The betting public likes Indiana. This line opened at six and a half. It's currently at 4. So, wow. That's amazing for Indiana that they're getting like love, not just like public love, but like people that know their shit are clearly moving this line. I can't wait for this game. I like Ohio State. You like Indiana. Either way, I love this football game. And it's the least impactful football game on the playoff all weekend. And yet, I don't know if there's a game I'm more excited to watch than this one. Think about how many shitty Big Ten games we got when it was Wisconsin getting their absolute ass kicked by Ohio State or fucking Iowa and Michigan. No offense. We can't wait for this.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm taking a look at some of the stats for Julian Sand through the year.
Oh, you're trying to come back and...
No, I'm just taking a look at it to see in terms of completions.
All right.
Interception's been very clean, of course.
They're both actually been awesome. I mean, they're fucking yeah, win a Heisman.
They're going to win a Heisman. No, it's more just like it's going to be interesting, and I feel like it's going to be a really close game, and I'm freaking excited for it.
So it's going to be a great weekend. So we are off to New York. We will watch Friday night. We will have a very nice dinner. Christmas in New York is always fun. And then Saturday is like, it's been a few years since we've done this. I don't want to say it's awkward. It's like this waiting game. It's like this weird.
You get there and it's like pure. It's like, okay, we don't have a show, but we have to work. We have to work on, Saturday. And then Sunday, it's like, wake up. The show's happening. The playoffs are happening. And then the show happens and it's literally 30 to 45 minutes of us being like trying to put the piece of the puzzle. By the way, last year or 2 years ago, we didn't get the top 25 until I was at the airport. So we got the top 12, but we didn't get anybody. We got like the first two teams out or something. We got to the airport and we didn't have anything.
My flight got delayed 8 hours the last time we did this. So
I'm leaving Monday this time. So I'm
really hoping to avoid that.
Yeah.
But check it out. We will be covering it all week long.
Yes.
Please
come watch.
Yeah, we will be tweeting before then, drinking wine, eating good New York food. It's going to be a great end of the season pod. Obviously, we got way more to do. Like, we got a playoff game. The one thing I was really odd last year about the calendar is like, we have a week. We get Army Navy. We do the Heisman. Bowl games start, and then the playoff begins. So it's amazing. We got a lot to do. And I am going to bet every bowl game. Well, I do this every year. But we are going to pick every bowl game this year. We've done that before, too. We will do it this year, too, because fuck it. So, all right. Anything else?
No. No parting thoughts? Any random shit?
No. Son's birthday. We got 12 inches of snow. We ended up having a football game in the snow
with his
friends for his birthday. So that was fun. We had a good time. Snow. It's the weather here is terrible. Don't move here. I don't think that was a problem for you.
But I will say it's supposed to snow in New York on Friday.
Is it really?
So
is it really like real snow?
It's like 30 degrees. Which, by the way, I'm just not.
That's fine.
It's going to be 20 degrees at night. But I don't think you understand. I'm not built for that. I'm going to be sleeping in like three pairs of socks and sweatpants and a sweatshirt.
42 on Saturday. The other thing I remember about the last time we did this is it rained like hell. Like hell. Like, because New York, when New York normally gets snow, they get like pounded. I don't think we have one of those, thank God. But 42 degrees? Good bagel walk in the morning.
We are getting bagels.
Yes. All right. So with that, everyone, enjoy the football. It's going to be a great weekend. We will talk to you guys on Sunday and talk to you again next week.